So perhaps you've heard this popular icebreaker question, the one that helps us get to know each other when we aren't sure what to say. If you could eat with anyone dead or alive, who would you eat with? Who would you eat with? Perhaps you'd pick an Olympic athlete or a sports star, a famous musician or author. Maybe you go the more poignant route and pick a loved one who has died, giving you and the people at your table a chance to know someone who is no longer with us. If you could eat with anyone, who would you eat with? I imagine no one's first answer would be a tax collector. Those rule-following, pocket-protector, button-up shirt types. The one who says a nerdy joke and then nervously laughs because no one else is laughing with them. With April 15th fast approaching, perhaps your anxiety goes up just with the mention of taxes. And yet, I can honestly say, after living here for 2 years, there are several IRS employees in our neighborhood. And they're actually really fun people to be around. A little nerdy, but enjoyable. Blessed be those federal workers that are still among us. Can I get an amen? Anyway, Jesus' answer to that icebreaker question we hear for today is indeed a tax collector. But we aren't talking about those devoted paper pusher federal employees. The tax collectors in Jesus' day were despised, corrupt, wealthy, but only because they pocketed more than asked. They took more than a living wage for themselves. They profited on the backs of their neighbors' labor, of their families and friends. By far, these were the ones beyond redemption. This story is only in Luke, and just like that lost sheep story we heard last week, it's in all of my story Bibles. It's interesting that Luke takes great lengths to say that Zacchaeus is short. I don't really think we get this descriptor anywhere else in the Bible. Zacchaeus was so short, he had to climb a tree to see Jesus. But I found out this week to be short in Roman antiquity was not just a marker of being physically short, but it was also a marker of being a lesser person, ruining the reputation for short people everywhere. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, the traitor of his own people, small-minded, greedy. And so he climbs this tree to see Jesus because he was short, perhaps, or perhaps because he knew how despised he was among his people. So trying to, you know, just stay in the background, not be noticed. And yet it doesn't work, does it? For when Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in this tree, he says, "I want to have dinner with you." And the crowd's reaction, they grumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. The word grumble here is the same descriptor for the hungry Israelites in the wilderness. "Moses, you have led us out here to die. We are hungry, we are hangry, we are hot. We have lost hope that things are gonna get better, and we would all be better off if we were still slaves in Egypt." This is the grumbling. Grumble. "Jesus, why would you eat with that person?" Grumble. "Why, in the name of all that is holy, would you want to eat with the deplorable enemy?" It brings back to mind something that Pastor Heidi Neubark once taught me when I was going through a community organizing training. She told us there are no permanent enemies or allies. Notice that Jesus does not say, "Come and eat with me, tax collector." He calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Ironically, or perhaps poignantly, in Hebrew, the name Zacchaeus means fidelity, righteousness, innocent. There's also a sense of urgency in Jesus' request. He uses the same action as the shepherds that were running to the manger scene in their Christmas story. Hurry, make haste. We have to eat together now. It's in this invitation that perhaps Zacchaeus feels seen for the first time in a long time. It's this pivot point for deep change, accountability, repentance, and repair. Zacchaeus, from this invitation, decides to give half of his wealth away. And not only that, he promises to repay four times the damage he has caused. Four. Jesus says, today salvation has not just come to Zacchaeus, but to the whole house. Wholeness for the wider community. This is such a powerful story. We should read this every year, people. We include it in our Explore Communion class because it's a reminder that Jesus ate with all sorts of people. And eating transforms us. Eating together reminds us of love. Love for our own bodies, love for one another, and God's love for us. Our binary for today is righteousness and mercy. And that word righteousness is a lovely church word, but break it down. Rightness, being right with God, doing the right things. And we all know where that leads us. High horses and gold stars and bragging rights. For we then know what is right and wrong. We know it all, in fact. And in this process, we let go of the concept we need a God in the first place. Mercy, on the other hand, is this humbling reminder that we are all broken. We will never get everything right. And we all need help from time to time. And so here we are, friends, in this messy middle. I have to be honest, I have really struggled with the story of Zacchaeus this week. Because the folks that I have named as enemies and deplorables in my life, in our collective life right now, together, it feels so real. Our enemies are mean and harsh and cruel and unyielding. And I'm not proud of this. I'm not sure I want to give them mercy. And yet, perhaps wholeness in our wider community can only come when we invite folks in, when we are willing to keep that invitation open to eat together instead of point fingers. It's easier said than done. This is probably why we say it every week in the Lord's Prayer. Every single week before we break bread together at this table, we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Thank God it's not me sitting in the judgment seat, but it's Jesus, the giver of mercy again and again and again. The one who calls us by name up out of trees and under blankets and from behind the safety of our doom-scrolling phones. Jesus is the one who says to each of us, "I see you for who you really are, who you are capable of being, and I want to eat with you." Now, I wonder, dear ones, how this story of Zacchaeus tugs on your heart today. Who are you having trouble calling by name? Who do you need to invite to sit and eat with you? And how are you dealing with your anger these days? Today, during communion, I'm going to be offering prayers for forgiveness during our communion line. So I'm going to stand close to the font, close to the bread. And if you'd like to, you can come forward to me first, and I will offer you a prayer of forgiveness. And then you can take the bread and the wine and go back to your seats. I also have a little paper Zacchaeus if you want to take it home with you. You know, our communion curriculum suggested you put them in your shoe and pray for your enemies. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that, God. But if you do it, I'll do it too. May you know that God is in this smissy middle we find ourselves in, this unprecedented space. For the story of Zacchaeus reminds us that no one is unredeemable to God. No one is beyond God's love and compassion. And so may it be so. May this world change for the better, for us, for our planet, and everyone in between. Amen.